All right, you got your Bible. We're jumping into this series, Theology of Sex. Hopefully you were here this weekend. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, even if you're new, even if you're brand new, every week for the next really 6 weeks, because this was week one, you need to be hearing our weekend worship teaching, okay? We're following the exact same series, and we're going to tackle all of the very real and raw issues dealing with sexuality in our culture and really sexuality for us personally within the church head on. So whenever we come in here in Forge, I guess we'll be in here for about 5 of the 7 weeks, and then you'll be in small group a couple of other times. We're going to take the same thing, and we are just going to rip off the Band-Aid and go for it. And so this is going to be awesome. I'll give you a little bit more instruction toward the end. But we're going to jump into 1 Thessalonians 4. And so go ahead and turn there. Small book in the back of your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, here's the really neat thing. Dealing with sex, sexuality, the whole gamut. Gender, I don't want to just, when we're dealing about a theology of sex, I don't want you just to think about the act of sex. I want you to think about everything that sexuality entails. Identity, intimacy, personality, gender, marriage, dating, homosexuality, same-sex attraction, purity. I mean, the whole gamut. Like, that's what we're talking about whenever we say a theology of sex. And so I know Cole is joking around about the birds and the bees. We'll talk about the birds and the bees, but in a really holy way. It's going to be good. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 3. I want to read a few verses for you, and I hope these jumped out to you this morning. Verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 4. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Right, look at verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. All right, now I've tried to press on you over and over again as we're reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures that you should look for repetition, right? What word do you see that keeps popping up in there? What word shows up at least 3 different times? You see it? Holy. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. This is a passage about living to please God and really talking about the idea of holiness. And what it's going to do is actually it's going to try to talk about how you follow Christ, how you live a holy life, and what sex actually plays a part in that. So you can't really jump in and deal with sex without dealing with this idea of identity. Okay? Now, for us, identity. Like, I spent a number of years doing middle school ministry. I had a lot of you in 24/7, which is really a lot of fun. I have some pictures of you that I'm saving for your senior nights. That they are awesome. They are so awesome. Y'all will be crying. You'll be so ashamed at how you looked in middle school. It was great. Here's the funny thing about middle school. I do it out of love, I promise. But here's the funny thing about identity. As I was doing middle school, we make sure in middle school that we always do an identity retreat every other year because we want every student in middle school to be going through this idea of what is my identity in Christ and what does that really look like. And when I was doing all that for a number of years, I got to this kind of place where I was like, all right, middle schoolers got to learn about identity, and then we move on from there. And then I've realized we don't really ever move on from there, right? The same thing that we're dealing with in 7th grade about who am I, why am I so scared of other people, is the same thing we're dealing with in 10th grade, is the same thing we're dealing with in 12th grade, is the same thing we're dealing with in college, is the same thing we're doing when we're 31. Like, it's this identity issue to where we actually find who we are by the way God has actually called us. So you want to talk about holiness and why holiness is such a big deal? It's an identity issue. Think about this really quick. It's really easy for us to lose our way and for life to become really self-absorbed, right? Y'all have that feeling about every day, pretty much, where you're going, oh, am I just narcissistic or what? Like, where you're just totally self-absorbed and everything's revolving around you. All right, take a step back really quick and let's think about holiness. Holy God creates holy people, Adam and Eve, to live with him and among him. And what do? They rebel. They go, no, we don't want communion with you. We want to be God ourselves. But even in that moment, right then, God kicks in his eternal plan to where all the scriptures talk about it. even though he created holy people rebel, are not holy anymore. He sends his holy son to come live for us, to die on our behalf, to make us holy. And then even as we've been made holy, we're going to grow in holiness until you get to Revelation 21. John gets the vision at the end of the scriptures in Revelation 21 where he sees the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven and coming to dwell on earth for eternity, the new heavens and the new earth. You get this idea that God is holy and that he has invited us into what he's doing. He's invited us to experience life with him and to be holy in that process. But the problem is this, and this is where sexuality comes in, such a big deal for us in our culture. The problem is this, when we think of the word holy, we immediately think of perfect behavior and we think of a list of rules, right? Am I right or no? All right, I see a bunch of heads nodding. Yeah, we think of holiness as a list of rules. And when you actually step back and see the story, what you're going to realize is holiness is not ultimately a list of rules. The pursuit of holiness is actually the pursuit of Jesus. And that there is going to be, we're going to see our life change, but ultimately, like we're going to see tonight, it's not even really just about our behavior changing. If we want to be holy, it's not about all the things we can't do. We always want to ask the question when it comes to sex, like what's too far? Where's the line? All these things. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 is going to talk about adultery and go, hey, no, don't just not commit adultery. Anyone who even looks at someone else with lust in their heart has already committed adultery. So he's going to say, hey, this isn't just about changing your behavior. This is about changing the desires of your heart. And that's what we have to deal with first. Before we jump into all the different specific things about sex and sexuality, we got to deal with why is holiness such a big deal for us? And why is holiness central to our sexuality? God has called us in this way. And that's what you're going to see in this verse, 1 Thessalonians 4. God's will, for those of you that were here last year, we did this book, remember, Just Do Something? And this is a little tiny book I would recommend to all of you. Freshmen, I know you weren't here. You should go get it. You can read it in a night. It's awesome. But it's this whole deal that everybody's always going, hey, I need to wait and see what God's will is for me. And then he's saying, hey, God's will is right here. God's will is for you to be holy. So if that's his primary will, for you to grow into the image of Christ, to be holy and yet also to be being made holy, then get to work. Go do that, and then as you're doing that, everything else will take care of itself. It's a really neat truth. But here's what we have to understand, and we talked about this a little bit on the retreat. When you talk about holiness, there's two different kinds, basically. There's a positional holiness, and then there's a progressive holiness. Theologically, we would say that you are justified. You ever heard that word? Justified? That you are justified by faith, that you have been declared holy, that in God's sight, if you trust in Christ, he sees you as completely holy. Yeah, if we look at our lives right now, we would say, all right, I don't think there's anybody here who would say, oh yeah, I'm holy, I'm perfect, I'm pure, I'm totally set apart from evil and dedicated to God. I'm just like him in that way. I don't think so. Like, we have that standing before Christ because we've been justified, but at the same time, we are being sanctified, meaning we are growing into the image of Christ. Same deal. Holiness, Christ, same thing. I want us to see that. It's not just a list of rules. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's what holiness is. All right, so watch this. If you're Philippians 1:6, you'll know some of these verses. I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Y'all heard that before? You claim that truth a lot? It's an awesome truth that God is working in us. And if God has started the work, he's going to continue that work. And then even Colossians 3:10, this is one of my favorite verses. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. So that positional holiness, that status change, that's the new nature. But notice what it says. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. So this is what we're going to do throughout this series, is that we want to create a little bit of space to where we can actually say, God, we want you to change our lives. We want you to direct our thinking. We want you to actually even change our desires so that we could desire you more than anything this world has to offer. Because here's the challenge for every single person here. Is that we really do, I honestly believe that most of you have a genuine desire to know Christ and to grow with him. And I see the struggle of that desire coming up against this desire for all the pleasures of the world. Like, I see it. It is a battle that is just raging viciously. And anytime that battle's raging, what tends to happen is that desire for the world looks so good. Those pleasures of the world look so good. And when you see holiness as a list of rules, then you're going to do exactly what Adam and Eve did and doubt that God's will is perfect for you and go, wait a minute, I'm missing out on something. Holiness has got to be more robust, more deep than just a list of rules, because if it's just a list of rules, I don't want anything to do with that. So that makes us go, man, the world really does have something good. Why am I not doing this again? Why am I sacrificing all this? But when you see holiness not as a list of rules, but as Jesus himself and him inviting you into all that he has created, his perfect will, his perfect design for sex and sexuality, and really all the pleasures in this world, well, then you look at the world and go, all right, so those pleasures are temporary, but these pleasures are eternal. So here's kind of this main theme we're going to be beating on every week. And this is going to sound really weird to you, I would be willing to bet. The best way to combat the pleasures of this world is the pleasures of Christ. So here's the really interesting thing. And this is what I hated hearing as a teenager. Like, I was that teenager who, like, you could tell me that my parents had sex, and I would put my fingers in my ear and be like, no, they don't. I know that they don't. Like, that is disgusting. No, not at all. Never. Like, I don't even know how I got here, but it wasn't because of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? But here's the thing that I had to understand as a teenager, is that God uses sexual language, intimate sexual language, to even describe our relationship with him. And for me, I probably wasn't a believer at the time, but for me, that was weird. But as I've grown in Christ, I've learned that there's actually the pleasures that God has to offer are so great that when you come to understand what they are, that the pleasures of this world get exposed for the temporary, dark, really just blah that it is. The enslaving, I mean, you could just put all the different ugly words on it to describe what this world has to offer. But it's so appealing to our wicked hearts. So listen to this. Psalm 16. This is what I was talking about with the pleasures. Psalm 16:11. Write down that verse. I'd love for you to even memorize that. Psalm 16:11. David's writing this psalm to God, and he says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." Here's David, who's king. You know a lot of his story. And he's going, God, you've got all the pleasures in the world. I'm going to depend on you. You will show me the way of life. You will grant me joy of your presence, that God would be near. Even, I love Psalm 84. Many of y'all know this psalm from the old song. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And then the psalmist even says, I would rather be on the outskirts of what you're doing, God, than be in the center of what the world has to offer. Because he's seen the goodness of God. He's seen the pleasures of God, the joy, the peace, the immense contentment. And he's seen what the world has to offer. And he's going, these are eternal pleasures, and why am I so satisfied with such a cheap substitute? Why am I chasing after all of these false pleasures that are going to destroy me when perfect, eternal holiness and contentment and joy and love and peace are offered to me right now? When you see things that way, then the things of this world kind of fade away pretty quickly. But here's the thing that I know, and I'm telling you this from me. I have to remind myself of that truth every day. Because a day that I'm not preaching that to myself, man, the pleasures of the world look pretty good. like they do. So it's something we're going to have to actually fight together on. And that's what we're going to do. That's why we are so big on small groups. So there's this idea that the pleasures of God can combat the pleasures of this world. But here's the biggest challenge. There's actually two, but they're really the same thing. And Matt said one this morning. One is this is an authority issue. Did y'all hear that this morning? Any of y'all groan whenever he said that? Because authority is such an evil word to us. I don't know what it is about this generation. And I'm not saying you. I'll put myself in there as well. Like, we have this complete refusal toward any type of authority. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. It shows us how hard our hearts are, how independent we are, and really how we're going, God, we don't really need you. We got our own way. We can figure this thing out. And so it is an authority issue. But for us, as high school students, I want to tell you this, and this is what we see every year. We've already seen a lot this year. It's not just an authority issue. It's an arrogance issue. The people who struggle with sexual sin are arrogant. Okay? And that includes all of us. All right? If you weren't arrogant, you would be going, oh, like God has wisdom for this, and I'm going to submit myself to it and actually align myself with him because he knows what's best. I want to please him, and I want to be with him. We don't choose that way because of the arrogance of our hearts. And so the decision you've got to make about creating this space to be able to grow in is being able to go, all right, I want to separate myself from the world enough over these few weeks. Anytime I'm seeing myself being pulled toward these pleasures, not even acting on it, but even my heart just yearning for what the world has to offer, I want to reach out to one of the people in my group and create some space to where I can go, I'm feeling tempted, I feel lured, whatever it is, and go, God, I want you to show me what the pleasures of God are and how they actually combat this. Like, if you'll do that over these next few weeks, then what you're really doing is you're humbling yourself. You're not being arrogant, but you're humbling yourself to go, God has a better way. And even though my heart is pulled toward these things, even though I desire these things, I want Christ more than anything else. By humbling yourself like that, you're going to have to expose yourself. You're going to have to confess some things. You're going to be walking out of the darkness and into the light. You're going to be risking something. You're going to be making yourself known. You're making yourself vulnerable. But I promise you, it's completely worth it. Same thing we did with the Screwtape letters back in the fall. Whenever we first told y'all about that, y'all were freaked out. Y'all were like, wait, what? I have to write down my sin and then tell people about that? That's weird. And even people who would come for the first week were like, I'm coming back. I've never been to a church that was that honest. Man, those people are messed up. I'm like them. I got to be there. This is awesome. And I'm telling you, exact same thing with this. You want clarity and truth and power? Let's humble ourselves. Not so that we can go into the world and say, hey, look at how holy and perfect we are. But so that we could go into the world and say, hey, you know what? I'm the first one to tell you my heart's as wicked as everybody. But there's a holy God who actually created this thing. And sex itself is actually not bad. It's really beautiful. And all that it entails, sexuality, we have to deal with it now. Because immense power can come through this as we actually seek God's presence. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to sing a few more songs. We're going to sing two more songs just to remind ourselves of that truth, to really preach it to ourselves. And then in small group, here's what you're going to do. And you need to hear this part. We're going to really answer two questions, and then you're going to email me. The first one is this. What are the biggest issues and challenges that you face personally in following Jesus with your sexuality? When those two worlds collide for you, sexuality and Jesus, what are the two biggest issues and challenges that you face? Now, y'all can talk about it in your group. I want everybody to really make yourself known and talk about personally. You may talk about 8 or 10 different big issues, but then as a group, you're going to decide on the two biggest ones, the two biggest themes. It cannot be three. It has to be two. Okay? Deal? All right, and then here's the other thing. As a group, you're going to come up with the two biggest questions that y'all won't answer before this series is over. So again, you might have 8 or 10 different questions, But you as a group have to decide on the two most important questions that you want answered. And then before y'all leave small group tonight, you are going to email me one of those. One person from every group. I don't care if it's a leader or a student. All y'all have smartphones. I know you do. So no excuses. Before you leave tonight, I think there's 21 different small groups. I better have 21 emails of the two biggest challenges about following Jesus and our sexuality and the two biggest questions that you won't answer. Cool? All right. No, you can't tweet them. Seriously. I'm going to tweet that right now. Jordan Evans is going to tweet your junk. Don't talk to him. So nobody trusts Jordan now. Yeah, if you tweet what somebody else says, hey, Jack's biggest challenge with his sexuality is this. Like, we will stone you. Seriously. I will fully support you coming up on stage and all of us get to throw rocks at you. It will be awesome. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Let me pray. Band, y'all come on up. Let me pray. And we're going to sing two more songs. And man, let's sing them loud and really claim this truth. So, Lord, thank you for being with us tonight. And you can sense the freedom in the room because your truth is proclaimed and that you actually have the ways of life. You are the designer. You are the creator. And in you, there are pleasures forevermore. So God, would you actually pierce our heart right now? Would you expose the false intimacies that we're actually clinging to? And God, we know that as we trust you, that we're going to have to make ourselves vulnerable. God, but would you draw near in those moments? Would you provide hope? Would you give healing over these next few weeks as we get honest about where we are? And God, man, I can't wait to see the power that you create in this room as we get honest with our sin and as we pluck out that sin and go, God, let us live in your design. Give us righteous desires. Help us crave your presence. We love you, Lord. Amen.